You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Claret and Blue podcast. We have Leighton Castle on the line with us today. How are you, Leighton?
I'm fine, thanks, Matt. Yourself? You well?
Yeah, not bad. In case there's any Villa fans wondering, well, I can't remember him playing for the Villa back in 1973. I'll give you the big introduction. Leighton is the brains behind, the creative genius behind the Sob on the Tyne banner, which wound up thousands of Geordies. And obviously we got Newcastle coming back to Villa Park this weekend, Steve Bruce and all. So I just wanted to take you back down memory lane later, really, to talk about the inspiration for that banner. Why did the kind of mischievous element of your personality decide to create that banner in the first place?
Purely to wind up the Geordies, simple as that. There's no other reason other than to just wind up the Geordies on the day. Going into that game, you remember Newcastle had recently appointed Shearer, and he was there like Messiah. If you remember, we had another banner as well, who's your next Messiah, Ant or Dec, whatever. Because the whole thing about the Geordies, more to do with the media, I think, in all fairness, is, you know, the way they just kind of pile on, you know, their love and admiration for the Geordie fans are the best in the world. And, you know, there's all this kind of mythical thing about, you know, it's the only club in the city and everybody in Newcastle sports. And you know, you can say that about a lot of clubs, in all fairness, apart from being the only club in the city. But, you know, all fans are important to the clubs and all fans are great. But, yeah, it was purely to wind them up because we knew that they would bite. And it's just fun. There's no malice intended in it. It was them coming to Villa Park, a very high probability that they could get relegated on that day. And it was just an opportunity not to be missed. It really was. And we also had some cloth left over from a few years before from the We're Not Fickle banner that the lads did.
I love that element of the story. I love all the elements of the story, but I just love the idea that, yeah, just got a bit of cloth left over and I might as well, you know. So the missus is going to use it for dusters if I don't put it to good use.
I'm feeling sorry for the Geordies at the moment, to be honest, with Steve and Bruce there. They're going through what we went through, and I think they're all seeing it. But, yeah, there's this mythical thing about Newcastle United, and it just winds me up, to be honest.
Just setting the scene back then, I think it was May 2009. I think I'm right in saying that a Damien Duff own goal eventually did for Newcastle that day and sent them down. But yeah. I think it was like a military operation for you, wasn't it, in terms of when you unfurled this flag?
Yeah. So I used to sit in the Holt End, but when O'Neill joined the Villa, my brother, older brother, decided to come back after a few years away on exile with marriage and kids, whatever. He wanted a season ticket, and the only place I could get a season ticket with him together was going up into the North Stand, and that's where I still am. The thing about the North Stand, we're in the North Stand upper, it's not the best place to drape the banners over, and where we sit, we're just a bit further back to be able to know the guys properly, once of us, to ask them to do us, to drape it for us. So what we decided to do was for Goffey and Mike and the gang, they would take the banner in. Say we had two banners. We had the Uzi Messiah banner and the Sob on the Tyne banner. The thing is, we was always going to have the Messiah banner draped throughout the game because that was a permanent dig. But we knew that with the Sob on the Tyne banner, which was the big one, when we had to get different cloth for that. That was white cloth, I think. It was the Messiah banner, which was the orange cloth. But the idea about the Sob on the Tyne, we wanted something to unfill if they got relegated. And it just seemed perfect. It was like a headline pun, which we just couldn't resist. Sob on the Tyne. It felt great. It was there ready to unfill once we knew that they was going down. So I was up in the North Stand. As you know, the phone signals aren't the best at Villa Park even now, but back then 10 years ago, I think it was even worse. And I said to Goffey, you know, don't drape it until we know it's definite, you know, maybe a minute before the ref's going to blow his whistle or when, you know, the injury time board goes up. And I could just see being ready to be filled over. I think, not yet, not yet, because, you know, we didn't want to unfurl it. And then for them to go and equalise and for us to have an egg in our faces. When it was unfurled, like, if you remember, there was a massive cheer, started to kind of ripple and just erupt around the stadium. And everybody in the lower halls was like, you know, looking backwards and pointing up at it. It was about the timing. And all the credit for the timing goes to Goffey and Mike and the gang there. And there's photographs now that I think the photograph that you might put up is with a few of the people standing over it and looking down. I mean, those all knew what was going on. It makes me chuckle because some of the photographs I've seen and the comments on the chat boards have all been calling all these people all the names under the sun, and it was me at the opposite end of the road looking at the Geordies, and I could see the Geordie fans in the away section, you know, kind of spitting blood, and it just made it even funnier.
On top of that, and whether it was more material left over again, or whether you got a discount from Walsall Market or wherever you got it from, but it happened again, didn't it? I mean, obviously, we shared their pain, didn't we? Because we went down. We went down in 2015-16, and I think you just managed to put a little add on, didn't you? Because they came down with us that year.
I never expected it to make such a kind of palaver. I mean, still to this day, yeah, there's kind of this stupid fake rivalry between the two clubs, and it might be it is through that kind of that first banner, but banter between football fans, I love it. As long as it doesn't kind of go over the line into violence, I think banter's fine. I'm missing that so much at the moment, not being able to be at the ground, and I think that's what makes football so special. I think me and you, Matt, we're from the same kind of vintage, and we can remember the days in the Holt End, you know, when it was terracing still, and we was at the back end of that, you know, where we saw and was able to see the transition. I would love to go back to the all-standing terrace of the Holt End. The banter felt different then, and it's become a lot more sterilised nowadays, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it does take away some of the fun, which only I think you can find on terraces. And I think that humour you can find on terraces, it's unique, and I love it, and I'm really missing it. So to all the Geordies, you know, no offence, I feel very sorry for you at the moment with what's happening with Brucey, and you are a big club. I like Newcastle. I've got a lot of good customers up there, and they are the great people. But when it comes to football, for those 90 minutes, I reserve the right to be able to take the mic.
I think that's probably one of my greatest frustrations during this lockdown, that, you know, people said that football's nothing without fans, and they're kind of almost trying to prove that football is something without fans. And to me, if football was just that kind of 90 minutes that happens on any night of the week now, a Wednesday night, a Thursday night, a Saturday afternoon, a Sunday evening or whatever, I think it'd be a bit kind of boring. But I like all the kind of sideshow and the fun. It is tribalism. I'm with you that the tribalism stops at a point where it remains banter and it doesn't get out of hand. Yeah. But I think that kind of bit of mischief was encapsulated by the banners that you've put together.
It's not the 90 minutes of football as much as what happens before the game and, you know, meeting up with your mates, drink, the whole thing surrounding those 90 minutes, that's really important. And as soon as we can return to those, that kind of thing, the better. Back to what you were saying regarding the second time with the banner, it was the year we got relegated, obviously, wasn't it? And we was bringing them down with us. They were a poor team. And I think, if I remember correctly, that result at Villa Park was going to determine if they was going to get relegated or staying up. Is that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Maybe we'll check that.
My mind's
gone. It's been like 100 years ago now, they were 6 or 7. But because they made such a fuss about the first banner and got so riled by it, we thought, well, we can't miss out on this opportunity. So what we did, we took it in the game, but we just put again on it, if you remember. We had a great big extra piece of cloth and we just attached it onto the sob on the sign, so it just read sob on the sign again, and it was perfect. It was just kind of an open goal. We just couldn't miss it. And what was good about it as well, you know, the days leading up to that match, we was like reading in the papers and on the forums on Twitter, whatever, you know, all the Geordies were going to bring their own banners and that kind of stuff and get one over the Villa fans, you know, taking the mick out of the Villa fans because we were relegated and you know, one of the worst teams in the division ever, I think we were that season. But if you remember that day, it was like a party at Villa Park. Can you remember all the inflatables, which were like
yeah.
bombarded onto the pitch before kick, just at kickoff? I mean, it was crazy. It was, you know, it was football humour. You know, we're down. We know we're rubbish. You can't knock us. You know, if anyone's going to take the mick out of us, well, we're going to do it better than what you're going to do.
It was weird. It was like a kind of, it was like the kind of world's greatest wake in a way, wasn't it? You know what I mean? Because I think there was the protest before the game as well, wasn't there? With the town crier kind of marching down from the Holt pub.
All of the anger about how poor the team was, I think it had been sucked, like all the life had been sucked out. It was the only thing left for us to do was to celebrate the season ending.
What was the fallout like in your messages then? I should imagine you were kind of the most hated man in the North East, weren't you, for a couple of months?
It took quite a few months, actually, for any direct messages to come my way because I was reading, obviously, you know, you could read it on the, you know, on the Villa hashtag kind of thing. And it was, you know, as a, you know, a bunch of Villa fans, you know, it was being used as a collective rather than aimed just towards myself or me and the gang of lads. On the whole, I think it just touched a nerve. You can't go around high on the mighty saying that you're the best fans in the world and then not expect to have a little bit of ridicule now and again. I have no question that the Newcastle fans, you know, the proper Newcastle fans who go to the games or whatever, you know, they support their club, you know, just as much as what you and me do. Every fan is passionate about their club. It doesn't matter who you support. And, you know, Newcastle are our big club. You know, I mean, it's a fantastic stadium up there. We've been through a lot of difficulties over the last 10 years, especially as a club, as a fan base. You know, we've saw the club need to go out of business altogether. And you know how heartbreaking it is. And we know just through COVID, you know, the one thing which has kept most of the fans, you know, positive and happy, I'm sure, through COVID, more than any many other things, apart from their family good health, would be the Villa. I mean, you know, we were nailed on to get relegated before COVID. I mean, it was going to happen. And then since it, you know, we had Project Restart, where we stayed up and played some decent stuff. And then since, obviously, the start of this season, it's been brilliant. It's been one of the best periods in our last 10 years. Unfortunately, not being able to be there. So we know just how important it is for our football club to play well and to do well and for everything behind the scenes to be going well. And when it isn't, it can really affect you. I always do feel sorry for football fans when their club is being mistreated. And with the Geordies at the moment, they don't deserve what's going on with their club. I mean, they've got an owner there who, you know, he's just, let's say, be honest, he's a snake, you know, when it comes to football ownership. You know, he's not a custodian of that club, doing any credit at all. And I think they're in very, very high risk of getting relegated this season. I do genuinely feel concerned for the Geordie fans because they don't deserve what's happening there. No football fans deserve it. On top of that, they've got Steve Bruce. And, oh, my God, the comment is coming out with, you know, I've been in charge X amount and now I'm going to do it my way. What? But why haven't you been doing it your way since you've been
Whose way has he been doing it?
The thing is with Steve Bruce, we know what his way is. His way is turgid, boring, negative football. He doesn't go out to win a game. He goes out not to lose. When you're not really in the mix to win cup competitions or compete for, you know, European places, at least you want to see some decent football and get excited. Those Geordie fans at the moment, you know, I'm sure that even with all the games on TV, you know, I bet they'd rather be watching reruns of Crossroads or, yeah, Brookside rather than
one Spiker Grove in it and Joss's Giants up there.
Yeah, oh, Joss's Giants, best theme tune ever. I used to live there. Manchester though, not Newcastle, weird. But I've got the DVD set, mate, it's great. But I suspect some of them will be finding other things to do than watching Steve Bruce's team at the moment, because it's that bad. What they could really do with, in all fairness, this transfer window is to sign Glenn Whelan. That's the best thing that they could do. That's the best thing they could do. But it's a shame there's going to be no cabbages at Old Park when we play them on Saturday nights. I'm wondering maybe if your mate Ash can sneak one in.
Might be able to get some sprouts in his pockets, potentially.
Maybe left over from Christmas.
I love that. Your message to Newcastle fans. Get sign Glenn Whelan, get him on penalty duties and raid the local greengrocers. Thanks so much for taking us on a little kind of trip down memory lane. Like you, I like the nonsense and the fun and the banter that surrounds football. And I think your little bits of kind of art and craft, just giving us a little bit of a chuckle along the way, because, you know, football's not always, you know, 7-2 victories over Liverpool, is it, and glorious goals. Sometimes you have to find ways of coping with the miserable times as Newcastle are finding at the moment. So Just wanted to kind of finish off by saying thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking time out of your day. Stay safe. Eventually we'll meet over a pint in the shadows of Villa Park somewhere. Sometime soon, hopefully, mate. But until then, up the Villa.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, up the Villa.